So there's a chance I just started the webinar on accident.
Hi, Rob.
Ready to go?
Yeah.
Flip the switch on the screen.
That was something. There was a level of cynicism.
Teaching, and maybe you'll be keen.
Maybe this is a short meeting.
I'm counting on being out of here at 6:18.
What time?
That's
6:18.
Well, you know what?
Let's do it.
I'm moving to make this the shortest meeting on record.
Yeah, I understand. I hear you.
Good. Okay. It's called meeting to order. Meeting of the Planning and Zoning Board of the City of Winter Park for February 2nd, 2021 shall come to order. Let me begin by stating that the purpose of the Planning and Zoning Board is to review and make a recommendation on all conditional uses, subdivisions, comprehensive plan amendments, land development code amendments, rezonings, and other ordinances affecting the development of property, and to make final decisions on applications for lakefront home approval. Any decision regarding lakefront homes under City Code Section 58-87 is under the purview of this board, and the board's vote is a final decision that will not be heard by the City Commission. The City Commission will consider the board's recommendations made tonight on other public hearing items on Wednesday, February 24th, 2021 at 3:30 p.m. or soon thereafter as may be heard. And the City Commission will make the final decision on such matters. You're encouraged to keep appraised of the status of such matters going before the City Commission by reviewing the City's website and upcoming City Commission meeting agendas. The meeting will proceed as follows. The chair or staff will announce each public hearing item as it appears on the agenda, which is available outside the front door. Staff will begin by making a presentation on each item and will provide the staff's recommendation. Next, we'll hear from the applicant. After that, the floor will be open to the public for anyone who wishes to speak in support of or in opposition to the request. After public comment, the applicant will be given an opportunity to respond to the public comments. Please approach the podium, state your name and address for the record. With the exception of ordinances proposing comprehensive plan amendments and land development code amendments, the public hearing matters coming before the board are mostly quasi-judicial in nature. For the quasi-judicial matters, the board considers the testimony and evidence in the record at the hearing and determines whether the applicable criteria for approval has been met. The testimony that you give to the board should be fully truthful in the same manner as if you were giving sworn testimony in a court of law. In the interest of time, we ask that each person appearing before the board limit their comments to one appearance of 3 minutes. Large groups are asked to name a spokesperson. We ask that your testimony be relevant to the public hearing matters to which you are speaking and avoid repeating arguments and testimony made by yourself and others. Order and decorum will be preserved at all times. Please address all your comments to the board and not the audience. After all public input, the public comment period will be closed. The board members will then discuss and we will move and we'll vote on a recommendation to the City Commission with any conditions that may be appropriate. Please turn off or silence all mobile devices during these public hearings. The first item of business is the approval of the January 5th, 2021 meeting minutes.
Mr. Chairman, I have a comment.
Yes.
In the minutes on page 6, second paragraph from the bottom.
Okay.
It was about disclosing that we had contact with members of the Henderson.
Right.
And I disclosed that I had met with residents, but it wasn't in the minutes.
Okay, I think we need to revise that. And I don't think we will approve them at this point. Okay. Do we revise with a condition? Okay, let's revise with a condition. Laura, can you take us through that? Can you propose
to? Sure. I move that we approve the minutes with the addition of.
Can you say the date? Sorry.
I'm sorry, of the date?
Yeah, can you put the date
on
the minutes?
Yes. The approval of the PNC meeting minutes from January 5th, 2021, with the addition of Dr. James's statement that he had met with some of the neighbors related to the Henderson Hotel project.
Yes. Dan?
We may want to have a general statement that everyone disclosed their partake communication, but that's not covered just that. Because I think a number of board members did that.
Well, I think all the other board members were listed, just Dr. James.
I think he was the one who wasn't. So how do you want to handle it, Dan? Do you want to put a blanket in there? It's important because a lot of communications went on in that particular issue.
Any others weren't as well, then we would include them in all their ex parte communication disclosure. At least a general bullet point on it.
May I ask a question of the attorney? I actually saw that too, but the question I raise is this, I knew that the meeting had been recorded, and in some respects, of course, these minutes are a summation of what I know to be recorded and what was stated on the record. So as a general clarification, should we be making observations such as made by Dr. James, or should we, if we know that it was recorded, just assume it is in fact an official record? I mean, at what point do you make a decision to amend the minutes based on what you know to have been recorded, such as we had at the last meeting? It's a general inquiry.
Oh, and I think the issue is that several other board members are noted in the minutes as having disclosed that they had conversations. It just was Dr. James was not included in that list. Is that correct? So that's why it's being requested that statement be added.
It's your call, Dan. How do you want us to?
No, I think it's fine as stated. I didn't understand that everyone else was included,
yes.
But only one member was excluded. So I think we fully understand what the board's intent is. We can call the rule.
There was full disclosure. It just didn't, for some reason, his name didn't get included on the list.
And just to complicate the matters, Mr. Spencer also said that he had met with residents, and that was not in there. So we have two board members that did meet with residents that it wasn't in there.
Were there any board members who were not contacted by residents or the developer?
No. Well, you mean contacted. I mean, I made disclosures, but I didn't actually speak.
Right.
Disclosures. I got correspondence. I didn't really speak to anybody. So,
Jim?
I mean, there's obviously a distinction.
I spent an hour and a half with Adam Wonoff.
Yeah. Well, I thought everybody had some version of a communication. I don't know if you can give a blanket explanation in the minutes that there were various conversations between the developer, the community, and planning staff.
Right. So the motion is essentially to approve the minutes subject to the revisions to ensure each board member is reflected as disclosing ex parte communications.
Okay.
So if we want to
is that it, the condition? I mean, I know we get very technical here. Is that the condition, and then we get a second and approve the minutes?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. My motion didn't get a second, so I guess.
Well, because he stepped in.
Try again.
If her permission is correctly stated, I will second
okay.
the amendment and approve.
We good, Allison? Over there, guys, okay. You want a second?
Second.
Roll call, please, Mary.
Mr. Spencer?
Yes.
Dr. James?
Yes.
Mr. Bornstein?
Yes.
Dr. Bice?
Yes.
Mr. Fitch?
Yes.
Vice Chair Turner?
Yes.
And Chairman Johnston?
Yes. The minutes passed unanimously. I've never seen us take that long on minutes before. That was interesting. Okay, we'll move on. Allison?
You guys just wanted to make this meeting longer. Okay, your first public hearing item is a lakefront site plan request for this lot, 1333 Alberta Drive, which is located on Lake Osceola and is zoned R1 AAA. The applicant is proposing a new two-story, 3,702 square foot single-family home. And as usual, the board is tasked with reviewing the typical lakefront review criteria. With respect to tree preservation, no trees are being removed as part of this request. And it is important to note that the applicant is saving the 44-inch cypress tree that's located near the lakefront. With respect to views of the neighbors, staff has determined that the average lakefront setback is 54 feet, and the applicant is proposing a much larger lakefront setback of 65.5 feet from the lake to the, for the home, and a 50-foot setback from the lake to the pool deck. And this is also significantly set back than what exists today. Currently, there are, or it has been demolished, but there were non-conforming decks, walls, and fences within the 50-foot lakefront setback that the applicant has removed. So with respect to lake views, the applicant is improving on what existed before, as you can see on the picture on the left. Due to the grade drop between the street and the lakefront, which is approximately 18 feet, the applicant is still requesting a variance to the pool deck height of approximately 6.5 feet due to this great significant grade drop between the street front and the lakefront. But staff feels that this variance is acceptable due to what was existing previously and the fact that they are going to be screening the walls that are viewed from the lakefront with vegetation, as you can see in this lakefront view. And then with respect to stormwater retention, the applicant is proposing a swale near the lakefront that meets the code requirements. And overall, the staff recommendation is for approval since this request meets all of the lakefront review criteria. So staff recommendation is for approval. And with that, I'll take any questions for staff.
Any issues with the contiguous neighbors?
Nope.
Nothing at all?
Nope.
Have they been contacted?
Yeah, there was a bit of a discussion on the survey, what they use as their property lines, but it's been resolved.
But the height and
nope.
The height of the house is not an issue?
No issues.
Okay. And no line of sight, no vision, no visible issues on landscaping or anything?
Nope. They're moving the house significantly back from what exists today, so it's an improvement on their lake views.
Okay. Any other questions for staff?
I do have one, Ross. Allison, I may have the first two confused, so if I do, quickly correct me since I don't have the full package. In one of the staff reports associated with the first two, you mentioned something about letter swapping. Is that this one or the next one?
The next one.
Then I'll hold my question. Thank you.
Okay.
I have a question.
Yeah, go ahead.
First, I want to compliment Winter Park Design for coming up with plans that I could read. But on the site plan, I didn't see anything that showed how they were going to do stormwater runoff management. And in fact, they talk about a swale, but that is a very, very small sliver between the lakefront and where the stairs going down. So. But there's no indication on the site plan of a swale. There's no piping.
So typically they wouldn't require piping. They would just grade the lot so that it flows into the swale at the lakefront. And for a single family home, it doesn't really require much retention. So So within that 50-foot setback, there's enough room to accommodate for the stormwater.
Okay, because we're at max impervious coverage on this one. Also, I was wondering, since I got to thinking about that, do we have to do anything for runoff during construction? Is just the silt fence on the lakefront sufficient? Do we ever get ourselves concerned about runoff into the lake when the land is raw and we're not swaled yet?
Yep, so when they pull their building permits, that is looked at, that they are controlling their stormwater and not allowing it to go into the lakefront.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions for staff? Okay.
And the applicant is here if you do have any questions.
Got it, okay. Would the applicant like to come up and speak? I don't, do we have any questions for the applicant? The applicant doesn't need to come up if you don't want to. You've done this before, I know. Do we have any specific questions for the applicant that we'd like him to come up for?
Ross, I don't have a question, but I do have a comment.
Okay.
This design is a marked departure from the surrounding homes. So half your neighbors are going to hate you, and half of them are going to like you. And you get to live with that.
So, welcome to Winter Park. Okay, at this point, let's open it up to the public. Do we have anyone online, Mary? Anyone online like to speak?
We have no one.
Okay, I will close the public portion, open it up for board comments. Seeing none, I'll close board comments. And Owen, can you make a motion on this, please?
I will do so.
Thank you.
I move that we approve SPR number 2101, a request of Z Properties for the approval to construct a new two-story, 3,702 square foot single-family home at 1333 Alberta Drive on Lake Osceola, currently zoned R1AAA.
Can I get a second?
Second.
Roll call, please, Mary.
Dr. James?
Yes.
Mr. Fitch?
Yes.
Mr. Borenstein?
Yes.
Dr. Bice?
Yes.
Mr. Spencer?
Yes.
Vice Chair Turner?
Yes.
And Chairman Johnson?
Yes. Motion passes unanimously. Thank you. Jeff?
Yeah, the next agenda item is a similar lakefront review, this time for a two-story, 7,500 square foot home at 531 Virginia Drive, which is on Lake Virginia. There is the location of the lot, as you saw in the table. This is a house that does meet all the zoning requirements in terms of setbacks and foyer ratio, impervious lot coverage, etc. There is the site plan on the screen. In terms of trees, there are no trees on this lot except for one nice cypress that's down by the lakefront, which is being preserved. However, this lot does have some grade issues, and you will remember in December when we were also dealing with two houses here on the south shore of Lake Virginia, the one at 405 Virginia and 315. We also had some grade to overcome in terms of the height of the pool. And so we have a similar situation, plus the fact that the owners are inheriting a house that appears to be built a little bit in a hole. It's actually lower than the two neighbors' yards by about 2 feet. So as you just heard in the previous lakefront, the board does have the authority to approve more than the 3 feet of height above the existing lakefront grade on the lakeside of the pool, and that has become a necessity in this case again because of the grade drop. So in terms of a design challenge for the applicants, we gave them the same challenge as we gave the other two that we approved in December, which is no taller than 5.5 feet and do whatever stairs, another design that you need to do to reach that 5.5 feet. And that's what they have been able to do on this plan. In terms of privacy, because that's one of the major reasons why we're trying to get the pools closer to grade, there is a pool cabana proposed on the west side that will be a visual screen to that neighbor. And there is substantial landscape screening on the east side that is a privacy screen for that neighbor as well. So that appears to be consistent with the actions that we have taken before. In terms of the lakefront setback, the average is about 97 feet. And this home is in front of that average, especially considering the cabana that you see on the left-hand west side. And that's where what Owen referred to, the letter swapping, comes into play. Because as the applicants for this home have talked to their neighbors on that west side, the neighbors have said that they plan to do an addition to their home, and they plan actually to do that addition to come down to where this cabana is proposed. So it's a, I'll give you a letter, which is in the packet, that I don't object to the cabana blocking my view, as long as you give me a letter for a later P&Z meeting that you don't mind the fact that I'm coming to the same place with my house addition that'll be to sit on a future agenda. So we do have the consent from that neighbor on the west side. I mentioned the extensive landscape screening on the east side of the property. They have had conversations with that neighbor, shared the plans with them, and we have heard nothing negative from them. So it's the staff's understanding that both of the neighbors are in consent and agreement with these plans. There is stormwater retention planned on the lakefront, more area to work with on this lot, but there are some small walls in the side area. So they are definitely doing, again, because of the grade, inlet, and piping to ensure that they get the water around the house down to the lakefront. So all of the areas then that we review for these lakefronts seem to be well taken care of, and thus staff's recommendation is for approval. I'll answer any questions. Hal George, the contractor, is here as well. If you have any questions that he can help with.
May I ask my question? So Jeff, you know, the fact that that was called out in the report, I mean, it did catch my attention, and it did cause me to stop and think about it for a moment. And I'm certainly falling far short of calling this a quid pro quo. But the fact that you called it out, it suggested to me at least that you thought it was important. And still after thinking about it, I was trying to sort of evaluate that in my own mind to see if it was a factor in anything. And I wasn't sure I reached a conclusion. And I wanted to get the benefit of your thinking about the significance of that. I mean, is there something about that raises a question that if we're not gonna, if we can't or don't do anything about it now, we should be thinking about it in the future? Because I mean, again, you called it to attention, and I think that was wise, if there's something of substance there.
Well, you know, this is actually working out very fortunate for both parties. Because the cabana clearly would be blocking their view, and they might have angst about that and be here at the meeting to complain. But the fact that they're planning their own addition, which again might block the view of this house, if we didn't have the quid pro quo, there might be, again, some angst at either meeting. But fortunately, they're both in agreement with each other about what the lakefront setback should be for both of them.
Okay. We're good. Thank you, Jim.
Oh, and I think you raise a very interesting question that does need a little more depth as you do lakefront. This board has uncovered so many issues that need to be looked at. I'm sure you're looking at them with a checkbox every time we go in there, but the quid pro quo, the forethought to look at line of sight and not just the landscaping, but the fixed structures on there is something that every property owner on the waterfront in Winter Park would have to look into. And I think with the neighbors, contiguous neighbors on both sides, thinking not just what's there now, what's grandfathered in, what could come in future development, and then have discussions with their neighbors.
And this process, the good part about this process, forces the applicants to go and talk to their neighbors.
Right.
We're an interior lot off the lake. You just build whatever the setbacks let you. You don't have to talk to your neighbors.
Right. So. Yeah. Most of the problems get fixed if they just talk to each other. Okay. Any other questions for Jeff? Seeing none, would the applicant like to come up and address the board? Yeah, unless there's questions. Do you have anything, any questions for the applicant? Okay, seeing none, I'll open it up for the public. Mary, do we have anyone online?
We still have one person in the queue. If you would like to speak, please press
*9 to raise your hand and I will unmute you.
Is there anyone online who would like to speak on SPR 21-02?
No.
No. Okay. We will close. Diane, no, there's no one here. I don't think anybody. Close the public portion. Open it up for board comments. Seeing none, we will close board comments. And Jim, can you make a motion for us on this one, please? Sorry.
Let me get it here.
Yeah.
Motion in favor of SPR number 21-02. Request of Ramon and Michelle Cornell for approval to construct a new two-story single-family home located at 531 Virginia Avenue on Lake Virginia, zoned R1 AAA.
Second.
Do we also need to add the staff recommendation, the additional conditions?
Yes, I'm sorry, that was an oversight. Please do add that, because in terms of the construction impacts, we may lose some of that landscape buffering.
Do you want to read it in verbatim, or do you just want to say staff recommendation?
Staff,
do you want it in verbatim?
Fine, yes.
Please.
What about the variance? Does that need to be a part of the motion?
It's included in the plan
okay.
Package.
Okay, thank you.
Laura, do you mind reading that in verbatim?
Sure,
thank you.
In addition to the approval of this action, is also including the requirement to maintain and enhance, where feasible, the landscape privacy buffer along the side property lines.
Do we have a second?
Second.
Roll call, Mary.
Mr. Bornstein?
Yes.
Mr. Fitch?
Yes.
Dr. Beisch?
Yes.
Mr. Spencer?
Yes.
Dr. James?
Yes.
Vice Chair Turner?
Yes.
Chairman Johnston?
Yes. Motion carries unanimously. Thank you. On to CPA 21-02, RZ 21-02.
Okay. This next item is to establish commercial future land use on our comprehensive land future land use map and commercial 3C zoning on 7 lots that have been annexed on Kentucky Avenue. And I'm going to flip to the next slide. And so you see the lots in green there on the north side of Kentucky. Those lots were annexed into the city, and all the property to the top, to the north of those lots along Fairbanks, is already in the city. They're all under the same ownership, and we are looking forward to redevelopment happening on that property, but you can't redevelop the property when it's in two jurisdictions, Orange County and Winter Park, and go down and get two building permits. It needs to have unified administration in terms of all being in the city or all being in the county. So the property owner has already annexed those lots. They have R2 zoning. We can go back a second. However, the future land use, very importantly for Orange County, is PD, and PD would entitle them to ask for commercial zoning. So we aren't changing what they are entitled to by establishing commercial zoning. And then this would allow a project to come in to be built from street to street, which is logical, and for unified development of the property. So this action by the board just establishes the commercial designation so that later on a future agenda, you can see a project on that property sometime soon, we hope. So with that, answer any questions you might have.
Go ahead, Lori.
I have one. The property to the north of the green lots, is that also commercial or C3 zoning?
Yes.
So it's the same zoning?
Yeah, it's already in the city on the south side of Fairbanks and zone commercial.
In the same future land use designation as well?
Our commercial future land use, yes.
Good, thank you.
Is there the possibility of doing any kind of assemblage with this? Would the city encourage that to put the Fairbanks facing lots together with the rear lots to create larger, deeper lots?
They are in the same ownership, and there also is the potential for assemblage with the property directly to the east, because Mr. Phil Mone is here, the owner of those properties, and he and the current owner, Mr. Weigel, have a good relationship. So there is a possibility that someone could come along and acquire all of those holdings. We just have to see what happens in the future.
Jeff, is there sewer service to the property now?
Yes, because the city put sewer in along Fairbanks. So any building on this site, no matter where the building would be able to get gravity into the sewer that's in Fairbanks Avenue.
Jeff, again, the red lines indicate Winter Park.
The red line indicates what the old boundary was for Orange County, but now all of those green lots, colored green, have been annexed into the city. And we're putting the zoning on them today, tonight.
So it's really like one big square east of I, that's I-4?
It's one big square all the way from Fairbanks back to Kentucky, yes.
Okay. Does it include the parcel to the east?
No, that's no. Mr. Thilmoni's property that maybe some developer could come along and make a deal with both, but it doesn't include the directly to the east properties.
Was that property annexed into the city?
It's in the same situation as this was prior. The frontage Fairbanks lots are in the city, but the three back lots are still in Orange County. So yeah. Who knows, we might see that property on a future agenda.
Jeff, sorry, we've talked about this area a lot lately in a macro sense. Mm-hmm. Now, this is a micro annexation
step
of a larger parcel that I thought we would be voting on.
Yes.
How did that come about?
This comes about because step by step, micro to do this assemblage for redevelopment, but behind it are still a lot of homes with a lot of people living in them. And so in terms, until there is some macro project, then we're not going to annex and rezone while we still have homes with tenants in them to the rear, south side of Kentucky, Oglesby, Crandon. But someday the macro plan could involve these properties, or there could just be driveway access through these properties to another development site in the rear. The south.
Okay. Jeff, I have one quick question. About how big, how many square feet are those seven lots together? Do we have any idea, have an idea off the top of your head?
Well, they're all 50 feet wide and one of them bumps into I-4. So we're about 300 by about maybe 150. By 140, so 300 by 140, whoever can do that math on that.
Okay.
30,000
square feet.
Any issues with Orange County on this?
No, none like
whatsoever.
Their plan is to have it be developed commercially.
Yeah, Orange County already thinks it's in Winter Park.
Orange County has formally weighed in on this whole area. Is that right? Or this particular?
Just this north side of Kentucky.
Okay.
Because again, it backs up.
I'm sorry, educate us all. Do we get a written release? How does that work when we do annexation?
No, we have the authority to do whatever we want. When we annex, we can establish our own future land use and zoning however we want to do it. However, it's nice when Orange County has already said that it can be commercial, as in this case. So we're not rocking the boat or doing anything different, and this is in the county's plans as well.
Right. Okay. Anything else for Jeff?
Oh, yeah, I have a question, if I might. I have a failing memory. The Skycraft situation across the street, what is the zoning and land use specifically on that property?
Well, the Skycraft commercial building itself is commercial.
Okay.
They are all along the frontage.
Okay.
And when we saw the Magruder Eye on our agenda, it was the homes behind that we talked about changing to our parking lot zoning in order to provide for the redevelopment of the frontage.
Okay.
The parking lot zoning wouldn't allow any building on it. But in this context here,
I guess
my
question was really more simple than I posed it, is would the same set of rules that apply to Skycraft in that location now apply to these rules? To this property?
No,
they wouldn't.
They would not.
So, okay, it's just, it was a question of curiosity, why properties basically across the street from each other might be subject to a different set of interpretive rules and controls in light of the fact that the application was withdrawn. So I was asking that to be instructed. So, can you compare or contrast if Skycraft had similar zoning and land use, how that plan might have worked out? Is that even a feasible question?
Well, I think I heard two questions there. If Skycraft had Orange County PD designation behind it, then it certainly would have been more of a slam dunk in terms of rezoning it for a parking lot. The other question I thought I heard you say was protections, because we had lots of brick wall and landscaping protections as we went into the neighborhood. The reason why that doesn't apply here is back to what Ross said about the macro. The macro plan is this neighborhood to the south is no longer going to be there. All of this along the I-4 frontage, that's 7 acres as you go south, is going to be something new and different in terms of commercial or multifamily residential redevelopment. Sorry.
Okay. I really don't know where I was trying to go with that, but since we just had that experience across the street, I wanted to make sure I made an attempt to understand it. Thank you.
Anything else for staff? Okay. Seeing none. Would the applicant like to come forward and address the board?
Applicant's not here.
Applicant's not here. Okay, at this time, I'd like to open it up to the public. If anyone from the public would like to come forward and address the board, please state your name and address for the record. Thank you.
My name is Matt Filmoni. I own Fairbanks frontage property and Kentucky Avenue property, pointed out here. I'm Matt. I own these three pieces and these four pieces. Okay. So I was not aware of this meeting or the fact that Jim had already annexed the other Kentucky properties into the city until yesterday. So I said, well, I need to come to this meeting tonight to speak to everybody. If
everything goes forward with this, then my three lots are kind of, you've got the city C3 with three lots just cut out of there. I'm just here to request what I need to do to get the city's help and Jeff's help to annex my three lots on Kentucky into the city and also change them from the R2 and R3 zoning. One of them is zoned R3 to the C3, the same thing you're doing with Weigel's lots now.
I have to assume you're part of this macro plan that we've heard about, and I think you're seeing this, and I think this is where precedent does hold, doesn't it, Jeff? On that street with a request from him in the same format would be put through the same evaluation criteria, but I can't say anything, but I can't see why it wouldn't have a similar outcome.
Yeah, like I said, if I would have known that Weigel was annexing those into the city, I would have come along on that trip.
I was wondering, I'm looking at this wondering why they didn't. That's kind of why I'm saying why.
Exactly, I wasn't aware of it until yesterday.
You're the landowner. Yeah, okay, so question heard, question understood. I think the question is between, or the answer is between you and the city planning staff.
Okay.
And I don't see them putting up any issues through this presentation that would stop that.
Very good.
So I think you're probably in good shape, and you're in an area that is looking to redevelop.
Right.
Thank you. Anyone else from the public? Mary, do we have anyone online?
We have one person still online. If you'd like to speak, please press *9 to raise your hand and I will unmute you.
This is our last agenda item of the evening. If you were wanting to speak, this is our item. Okay, hearing nothing at this point, we will close public portion, open it up for board comments, although I think we've all had our chance to comment. I will close board comments and ask Richard, will you make a motion on this, please?
I move that we approve CPA 2102, RZ 2102, request to establish commercial future land use and commercial C3 zoning on 7 lots annexed into the city at 2269, 2267, 2265, 2263. I think that's a typo. 6221, 2259, 2257 Kentucky Avenue. Is that a typo, Jeff?
Oh, correct. It is. Do we have a second?
I second the motion.
Mary, roll call, please.
Dr. Bice?
Yes.
Mr. Bornstein?
Yes.
Mr. Spencer?
Yes.
Dr. James?
Yes.
Mr. Fitch?
Yes.
Vice Chair Turner?
Yes.
And Chairman Johnson?
Yes. Motion carries unanimously. Thank you.
I think that's 2261.
Yeah, that was our last formal item of the evening. And now I think we are on to new board business.
We really don't have any room trying to keep this as brief as possible, considering the midnight service that you did last time on that you were here.
That was 1 a.m.
We're not going to do anything to extend the thing.
Thank you very much for that. I'm sure it's much appreciated. Planning director not here. I think that's it. So board updates and comments. Obviously, we can see where we are coming up on the 23rd and March 2nd. We have an election coming up, which will adjust how the board probably looks on the other side of that. So we'll cross that bridge when we get to it. But other than that, Mary, Dan, anyone else? Okay, we are adjourned.
Okay.